Welcome again to Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates them to move. I'm talking to successful people in all senses of the word, those who have decided to become their own bosses by leaving their 9-to-5s and turning their passions into 24/7s, as well as those who have ditched the status quo altogether to find their own specific brand of success and happiness. Consider this your Monday motivation and your weekly invitation to figure out what your passion is and work it out. Today here with me, I have Carolyn Smith and Margaret Lee from Collab Haven, who are actually heading up the project over at Collab Haven, to tell us how they work it out. So ladies, tell me what your project is currently about.
Yeah.
Collab Haven.
Absolutely. So
am I saying that right? Is it Collab Haven or Collab New Haven?
Collab New Haven. We just call it Collab. We love sometimes putting New Haven there just to make everybody aware that it is a New Haven sort of bred project. Mm-hmm. But Collab is a boost program for early stage New Haven entrepreneurs. So, you know, our main mission is to make entrepreneurship accessible to all entrepreneurs from all neighborhoods of New Haven. And we work on right now two main things. So first, open to the public events around entrepreneurship. We have a series called Stories Entrepreneurs, where we highlight the stories of successful entrepreneurs in New Haven, with the goal of inspiring other entrepreneurs. And the second thing that we work on that Caroline is going to tell you about is the incubator program.
Yeah, so our incubator program is a 6-week program for early stage entrepreneurs. And each entrepreneur gets a 6-week educational curriculum on lean startup methodology, a little bit of funding, $1,000 to $2,000. They get paired with a mentor. They have one-on-one coaching, co-working space, case-by-case pro bono services. And then an opportunity at the end to pitch in front of investors and community members. And as part of that program, we also provide wraparound services, so things like childcare, transportation, and translation interpretation services to make sure that it's as accessible as possible to as many folks.
That's awesome. So, I mean, I'm sort of just curious, what got you into the field of developing entrepreneurs? Like, that seems like a niche, if anything.
Yeah. So it's funny because, you know, Caroline and I are very similar in some ways. So we're both from Kentucky originally.
No.
Yeah, we're both from Kentucky. She's from Lexington.
Nobody's
from Louisville.
Nobody's from Kentucky.
Yeah, I know.
I'm a Lexington. I'm from Lexington, and then Margaret's from Louisville. So right. we're pretty intense basketball rivals. But
what?
Other than that, yeah, a lot of similarities.
Yep. What else happens in Kentucky except like bourbon? Or
bourbon,
is it whiskey?
So bourbon for sure, whiskey as well. The Kentucky Derby is there, which is a big one.
It's an amazing place to grow up. Like you can just run around, you can climb a bunch of trees, like big wide roads.
I think amazing is something that we're going to need to operational.
It's incredible. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing place to be a kid.
Yeah,
true. And yeah, we were both born and raised there.
So did you guys know each other in Kentucky?
No. Yeah. We had no idea. I knew of her school because like my school would like compete in cross country against her school and stuff like that. But we didn't know each other. And then we went to college here, went to the same college, graduated the same year, but we didn't meet. We didn't know each other in college.
We knew of each other.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like from a distance. Right?
like who's that other Korean?
but we never even officially met in college, right? And it was after graduating that we met in New Haven at an entrepreneurship event, because I was working at the Yale Entrepreneurial Institute, which is the incubator for Yale student and faculty ventures. And Caroline was working at the startup C-Click-Fix, which is a tech startup in town. And we got together thinking about, you know, what can we do to bring these two communities together? So I was working with the entrepreneurial community at Yale, and Caroline was sort of in the startup and tech scene here, and also just sort of a general community member here. So we started off brainstorming about that. The first iteration was we were going to throw a party to bring those two communities together.
Called Snackathon.
That was
the first name of Collab.
Did a
Snackathon.
Really?
Didn't last long.
Okay. Yeah. How long did it last?
I don't think we ever
I think it was written atop a Google Doc and then swiftly was strike through.
Is it so? The only remaining memory of Snackathon is like in Google edits.
Exactly.
And the reason why we called it Snackathon is because, you know, constantly in the work we do, we're pushing and pulling against the language around entrepreneurship. What parts are good and what parts are incredibly either divisive or exclusive. Hackathon being one of those words.
Yeah.
Hackathon being something that is confusing and sometimes makes people feel like that's not for them.
That's cool.
So it's always really interesting to think about the language that is that we should use, the language we should uphold, and then the language we just need to get rid of.
Scrap altogether.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, we you know, our mission was to bring together the Yale and New Haven entrepreneurial communities to start. And what that formed into is an event series around community problem solving, where we basically brought in an organization from the Yale or New Haven communities, and that organization presented to a really diverse group of people in a room, you know, this is our mission, and here are our three challenges that we're running into in really fulfilling or addressing that mission. And small breakout groups in the room would sort of tackle each of those challenges really dynamically, sort of like with post-it notes. They were just moving. And we were really interested in those ideas for sure. But I think what we were really fundamentally more interested in were the relationships that were formed in that room between, say, a New Haven resident of 25 years and a Yale freshman. Just like those two people working on something together, getting their hands dirty, knowing each other's names. That was what really inspired us. So we did that for, I don't know, like 8-9 months, something like that. And we noticed two things. First, that there are incredible ideas in this city, not just for those specific organizations who are presenting, but just ideas that stand on their own. And then these incredible people who are building capacity, gaining confidence, and wanted more. You know, we got a lot of questions of what's next. So we were faced with how do we nurture these people and these ideas?
Exactly. And it was so interesting to, you know, like, what does it mean to create and build an inclusive public space where Yale students and New Haven residents can meet each other on equal ground. And I think something that we really learned and saw in a hypothesis we had going in is that it's through diversity that's where genius happens. Like that is the foundation of genius, is diversity and inclusion of ideas. And that's where true and like healthy and sustainable innovation can happen. And so as Margaret was saying, there are a lot of amazing ideas and individuals building capacity. And we realized that in New Haven, there's a lot of incredible entrepreneurship resources. There's a lot of great early stage education and a lot of actually a decent amount of capital. But right at the beginning, when you're an early stage entrepreneur, you have an idea and you're ready to make something happen, there's a gap. Especially for those entrepreneurs who maybe don't have the ability to leave their job or go part-time or able to dip into their savings and put it in to some of the initial first steps of starting something. There's a real gap there. And there's also, we also identified that there's a gap in the kind of stories and narratives of entrepreneurs that sort of display all the different experiences of every single New Haven neighborhood. A lot of the rooms around innovation entrepreneurship are white-led, are male-led, involve people who are very highly educated. But when we look at New Haven, the people who are building stuff right now, they're people who are from here who are all different kinds of folks from all different kinds of neighborhoods. And we wanted to make sure we were building a space that had those individuals and those faces leading the conversations around innovation and entrepreneurship.
That's awesome. So has the path towards building this out been easy for you guys, or has it been, you know, I'm seeing smiles and nods.
Full range.
Yeah, it's been a full range for sure.
What was the biggest learning curve?
Ooh, the biggest learning curve. I have an answer that comes immediately to mind. Yeah. You know, and we say this all the time, working with entrepreneurs, who you work with is a big part of anything that you do. We really love emphasizing the team that's building something. And I think for us, for me, for sure, and I think for Caroline too, the biggest learning curve as well as the greatest reward has been sort of coming to understanding with each other and becoming friends for sure, but also something else, right? Because we're not just friends. We're also business partners, if you will, or whatever that relationship is.
If you will.
We are more than friends. Yeah.
I don't think, I feel uncomfortable calling her my business partner because it's like, what are you? Just like getting to know the nuances of each other and working on this thing together. Because for a long time we had a 9-to-5 job and we were doing this on the side, and that brought a lot of challenges. And you know, we had our personal lives and we had our own sort of independent growing to do. So in this entire journey, just getting to know somebody and getting a lot of support from them and being vulnerable with them. And like, you know, sometimes we like cry and sometimes we laugh, and all of those things are you know, for me, probably the biggest learning curve and therefore the thing that brings the most reward. Yeah,
If I can like capture that,
mm-hmm.
are you telling me that the biggest part of running Collab New Haven is collaborating with your business partner?
It actually totally is. And we can talk more about that. I just want to add one little point to what Margaret's saying, because that is also the first thing that popped in my head. 100%. We laugh all the time. We're constantly just giggling in the corner together. And we've really had to learn.
I love the phrase giggling
in the corner. But truly. We sprinted here.
we're sprinting down Orange.
And I'm sure like people like on Orange Street who see this there all the time are like, who are those two dinguses? Who are just, like, always just like scuttling around together. But yeah, I think the one thing that's been incredibly exciting is just learning how to take care of each other. And learning about how what we need is 100% part of the work and not a sacrifice from the work.
Yeah.
So if one of us has a headache, you know, one of us feels a little sick, or if one of us just isn't feeling it, giving each other that space and time to recoup is the work and does not take away. And like learning that and learning to sort of appreciate that and love what each other needs has been really helpful for each other and for Collab, but also will be helpful as we try to build a culture around Collab, whether it's with our partnerships, whether it's with if we ever were to hire someone. I think we've learned a lot on how to take care of others. And then regarding what you're saying about sort of Collab New Haven being our name, but also Collab being inherent to what we do, I think one of the best parts of this whole journey has been talking and building partnerships across New Haven. I mean, Collab started as something that was based on relational culture and is 100% built on the relationships that we've built in New Haven to inform what Collab is. Because when we first started out, even when it was an event series, we always said over and over again, we only want to build something that creates value for the city we love.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said also at the beginning, you know, we're both from Kentucky, we're both Korean, mm-hmm. we both graduated from Yale, and we know and are incredibly aware of our limited perspectives. And so Collab has to be continually informed by the community. And that has been the best part and has presented challenges, of course, but has always been the part that has been one of the most life-giving and fascinating parts of the entire journey.
That's awesome. I would be remiss if I did not highlight again just like the symmetry, the poetic symmetry of you both being from Kentucky. Mm. And then I'm just right, like just both Korean from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How many other people fit that description? Mm. And then both ending up in New Haven to come to this moment or this movement together. There's like an immense amount of symmetry there that I
One thing
appreciate.
I want to add on to that I've actually never thought about is I think it's helpful for us building this together because we're obviously different people, but having some elements that are incredibly shared, some things that are very small things like we both watched SpongeBob when we were kids, or we both grew up and knew about Kroger in Kentucky, or like those small elements of like shared experience.
What is Kroger?
Kroger's like a
gas
stop
station
and shop. It's like a stop and shop. Right, just these like tiny similarities of like free cookies at Kroger or whatever are like actually very fundamental to in some ways leading to bigger decision making.
That's really
like
cool.
Tiny elements of shared experience, like knowing kimchi or know like us comparing our moms and how they're like goofily the same or like similar. And those have been actually really helpful in sort of like lubricating the process of sort of bigger decision making.
Totally. And I guess where we differ is that, you know, I mean, we differ in a lot of ways, but one of the most obvious ways that we differ maybe is our background. So like, you know, when I was working at the Yale Entrepreneurial Institute, I got to delve into startups and tech and venture capital and like whatever. So that incubation, that was the world that I was in for 2 years or so. Caroline comes from a background of community organizing in New Haven. She's the chair of the Downtown Worcester Square Management Team. She runs New Haven Bike Month, amazing organizations. She's been working here for a long time. Those two backgrounds really came together to form Collab and fuse to create this other thing that, you know, I had always been passionate about, sort of what does it mean to have equitable entrepreneurship programs? But we get to do that together. And I think our different backgrounds really helped with that too.
That's awesome. So, I mean, since you're talking about the backgrounds, I'm actually interested in what you guys were doing almost immediately prior to this. I know that you said this was like a part-time gig for a while because you were doing your full-time gigs.
Yeah.
And really, most of the people that I bring on the show fall into one of two buckets, right? Like, they turned their side gig passion into like a 24-hour, 7 days a week kind of livelihood for them, or they just ditch the whole status quo altogether. And it sounds to me that you've turned your side gig passions into this sort of sustainable 24/7 sort of, you change it into your actual 9-to-5 kind of thing. What were you doing immediately before launching for work?
So right immediately before, we were both co-directors of marketing at CyclicFix. And for those of you guys that don't know, CyclicFix was founded in New Haven. It's a organization that allows you to, it's an app that allows you to report non-emergency issues to City Hall. So if you're walking around New Haven, you see a pothole, you see graffiti, you can take a picture of it using the CyclicFix app and send it to directly to Doug Housladen's inbox. So we were working there, and we feel so much immense gratitude for CyclicFix and for the entire team there, and for Ben Berkowitz, who's the CEO of CyclicFix. I started working at CyclicFix as soon as I graduated. And I had fallen in love with New Haven really, really fast when I first started attending Yale, for a number of different reasons. Ben was a mentor for me and has been a mentor ever since, we first met, through the Daily Nutmeg. Shout out to the Daily Nutmeg, because I saw his picture and I saw what he was doing, and I met up in the CyclicFix office full of hammocks and boxes and just talked to him about it. And then we met again shoveling out neighbors, because CyclicFix has this thing called Snow Crew that connects neighbors and neighbors who need to be shoveled out during snowstorms. And so we met shoveling folks out. And Ben has been an incredible supporter of Collab, has been a supporter of me being able to stay, you know, have my dream of staying in New Haven after graduating, and continues to be a supporter. And, you know, it was just exciting to both be able to be in a leadership role at in a company that we loved and care about, and also be supported outside of that by Ben in our kind of community efforts and our efforts of building something outside. What would you add?
Just that it was a company that really made it easy to take on something that improved the New Haven community, just because the company itself is so committed to the city that for us to, you know, take evenings and lunches and mornings and like a few meetings during the workday even to just like do what we needed to do. We felt a lot of support in that, not just from Ben, definitely from Ben, but from the entire company, from the whole team, just because it's a company that's, you know, about civic technology. So inherently it's going to be sort of super into New Haven, but I think it's very unique in its commitment to the city, and it just gelled really well with what we were trying to do.
That's awesome. So you both, did I hear right? You were both marketing directors there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is not marketing.
No, there's a little bit of marketing in it, but it's definitely not.
And if I read correctly, if I'm right about this, you are an organizer with Collab New Haven, and then Margaret, you are officially, what's your role?
So
you're both organizers,
co-directors of Collab. Our backgrounds are just different work.
I'm hearing that sort of making the transition when you were doing this part-time and then working at CyclicFix full-time. I'm hearing that, you know, that was easy for you because of the inherent commitment to New Haven. I guess I'm also interested in figuring out, right, like, what were the places where you were deficient in being your own bosses?
So one thing I will add, it wasn't easy. It was easy. The company made it as easy as they could. But, you know, it's just a lot to balance a full-time gig and a part-time thing.
Yeah.
So at times it was very much not easy. But I guess where we are deficient in being our own bosses, I mean, we're mid-20s.
You mean right now?
Yeah.
You mean, okay.
Today. Yeah.
Today, right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and also if you have an answer about, like, when we first started, we didn't even know how to send email, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd like to know that. But, like,
that might be all we can do.
We know how to send emails. We know that much.
You guys are really efficient in the art of sending emails. Yes. I will see that.
Where are we deficient in being our own bosses? I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, again, like, we're both pretty young. We both come from really similar backgrounds. And a lot of what we do is sort of mentor each other and challenge each other. We don't have sort of a, you know, somebody who's been in this industry or been in New Haven for 25 years, who's, you know, setting the vision for us and managing us and all of that. So that in and of itself is kind of a challenge, but also a huge learning experience. And
I can imagine a liberating a little bit.
Right. So it's all of those things, you know. It's hard. It's rewarding. It's different. It's scary. So that's what comes to mind right now. I'm sure there's more things.
It's a tough question because, I think we've had such wealth, you know, we've had so many individuals who are supporting us. So many people. I'm thinking of Jana Wagner, who's the head of All Our Kin. So many amazing conversations, like the one one of the first ones we had with her. She's a great mentor and friend, where she just questioned the very premise of collab. She goes, do you feel like entrepreneurship is, investing in entrepreneurship is the number one way to grow a sustainable economic development future for New Haven? You're just like,
and
really
she,
just
and
like
she does it as she like sips her tea.
Oh, exactly.
I mean, such a nurturing and kind way. But it was so helpful for us to really question the very kind of foundation of what we're doing and be able to kind of understand, first of all, no, it's not the number one thing. However, it is one way and therefore it must be accessible. And in order to get to that more nuanced understanding, mm-hmm. that was really helpful to have from mm-hmm. her. Anyway, I could talk about a number of different conversations we've had that sort of speak to this wealth of resources that we've had, but I think that's just what makes the conversation that particular question kind of tricky, just because I'm like, oh, but we've had so much.
Yeah,
we've been given so much, but us as leaders, I mean, then there's so many things. I think that one thing that comes to mind that I've always had a personal struggle with is and what's been helpful about being full-time is I've always had a little bit push and pull between my personal life and professional life and how they sort of bleed and ebb and flow together, and be able to take time out for the people that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Previously was harder mm-hmm. when I was working at Cyclic mm-hmm. Fix and had collab. It was very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And now feels so much healthier yeah. and so much better, but yeah. that was always a push and pull. And I think continues to be a little bit, but is in a way better place. But that's a personal challenge that I think I'll probably continually have to work on throughout my life.
Yeah. And as you continue to work on it, I just want to go ahead and remind our viewers that they are watching Work It Out. We're listening to Work It Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates them to move. I have here on the show, if you are just tuning in, Carolyn Smith and Margaret Lee from Collab New Haven. The show is streaming live at New Haven Independent's Facebook page, newhavenindependent.org, and 103.5 FM WNHH Radio. So I'm trying to figure out, like, it sounds like, Margaret, you were in New Haven first.
We came to New Haven
at the same time.
Mm-hmm. time.
This is, I'm floored by the symmetry here, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is, like, I'm really into communications, literature, writing, yada, 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 right? Mm-hmm. Like, and this is as, like, mm-hmm. symmetrical mm-hmm. as possible.
It's creepy. Yeah,
it's totally. Really strange. So what is this? What you've told me a lot about, like, the synergy between the two of you, but then you and you've also told me a lot about, like, how that synergy sort of ebbs and flows to create just this space of innovation for you guys and being your own bosses and being leaders for the organization. But I guess my next question focuses on the work itself and like how you guys have been leaders for the groups that you've brought together and sort of what that was like for the first time, kind of wrapping your hands around being in front of a group of people as the principal for your organization and not as, you know, maybe the number two or, you know, the support for the principal of the organization. So what was that like for you?
So do you mean like participating in like conversations or meetings and stuff as sort of the heads of an organization? Is that what you mean?
So I know that you said the organization sort of started out as a conversation series, right? Was there any transition from, yeah, that's a great question. Let me see if I can get Ben on the phone for you, right? In the terms of being marketing directors at CClickFix too. Now the buck stops with you.
It's funny, like, it reminds me of your previous question and Caroline's answer about how supported we are. You know, the buck starts, it stops with us, but there's so many people that whenever like something comes up and we're like, oh, I don't know, our first instinct is to like call Carla Lindquist at the like New Haven Economic Development Office, who's been an incredible mentor to us. Just call her up and be like, hey, this thing is going on, we don't know what to do, can you help, what's your opinion? You know, call Jim Boyle, who's the founder of the Yale Entrepreneurial Institute. You know, call Jana, call all the Slate Ballard at the Grove, call whoever, and just get their input. Like, we've always done that so intuitively.
That's awesome.
I think what I'd also build off that, like, the buck stops with us, but I guess one thing at least we've attempted to do, I don't know if we fully do this, but one thing we try to do is to make sure the us, the individual, the body that's making the decisions, are making decisions that are informed by a number of different individuals.
That's awesome.
So, you know, in terms of like how we, you know, built, you know, how we thought about building a program that provides childcare and transportation and translation services, some of those were hypotheses, but a lot of those were based fully on conversations we had where people said, I have not been able to be a part of that program because the sessions happen at noon on a Friday, right in between my two like part-time jobs at X, Y, and Z. And so I think in some ways, maybe if I had anything I was the most grateful for, it's for that, because it allows us to feel like most of the decisions we make, not all, but most, are 100% informed by a number of different individuals.
Yeah.
And so I think we definitely obviously do make decisions like, should we send this MailChimp email? But some of the bigger decisions are sort of surrounded by a series of decisions made by someone else. And that's really important. In fact, one thing I'd note on there, in terms of actually our program, the actual incubator program that's coming up, we're actually not the decision makers on who's going to be in that program. We're going to have a board of readers from all across the New Haven community who are going to be the decision makers. And there's two reasons for that. One, because the buck shouldn't stop with us. There are people who have a much deeper awareness and understanding of the need that New Haven has, that extends far beyond our own experiences, so they should be the decision makers. And two, that allows us to be there for the entrepreneurs. That allows us to say, hey, we're not the decision makers, so we can help you as much as possible for your applications to really reflect who you are and what you're trying to build.
That's awesome.
And that just puts us in a better position to do that.
And you guys just have a wealth of, you know, knowledge and diversity and knowledge on your board as well. Are you calling, I saw that Ben Berkowitz is on your board and Lee Cruz. That's just, I mean, some really staple New Haven names that just bring a wealth of insight. Is that board the same as the decision board, or is it another decision-making board for the incubator program?
Probably the list that you saw was our list of advisors.
Advisors, so those
are the people that have just helped us forever. Our readers will, most of them will come from that list, and it's sort of an extended list beyond that. And then we do have a few board members, but not a complete board yet.
Yeah, yeah. So something that I like to ask all of my guests on the show, what are some of the pieces of advice, right, that you would give to someone that falls into those two buckets that I mentioned earlier, those who have decided to take their side gig passion and turn it into their 9-to-5, or those who have decided to ditch the status quo altogether to find success in their own unique way. Mm-hmm. What would be sort of the tidbits of advice and like the pearls of wisdom that you could offer them?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind was what we talked about a few minutes ago about Caroline and I being able to really support each other and seeing each other as human beings and doing something rather than just 50% of collab and just holistically looking at each other and supporting each other. So I think my most fundamental advice, that's a grand statement, one of my most
fundamental
I said it and I'm like, there's probably something deeper than this, but one thing that I love
yeah, exaggeration,
I know.
Nothing matters more than this.
This is the most important thing. So it would be to, you know, deeply take care of yourself as an entrepreneur, just because if you don't do that, then there isn't that foundation upon which to build the thing that you love. Like, I love whenever Caroline says that's part of the work. Taking care of yourself is part of the work, because as entrepreneurs, we are the work for so much of it. We don't have sort of huge structures to rely on to keep this thing going. Like, we are the work. So, you know, taking care of yourself, you know, we love asking people what their form of self-care is. It's just a really cool question to get people thinking about, you know, oh, what do I do when I'm feeling really stressed, when I need to recharge? What does that look like for me? And like really sitting with that and doing it regularly, I think is really important.
Before I let you answer, Caroline, what do you do for self-care?
See, it's a hard question. Like, I actually struggled with this weekend because I was like pretty stressed last week, as Caroline knows. This weekend I was like, I don't actually think I know what recharges me. And what eventually ended up really recharging me was like getting really bundled up in blankets with a Christmas tree scented candle on next to my sofa, and then reading a new cookbook that I bought. And that, after that, I felt really good.
Reading a new cookbook.
So
how does that work?
I
want to shout out a friend of mine, Adriana Joseph, right now, because she put up a status the other day that said she reads recipes the way she reads science fiction, which is like she starts
interesting.
It is really interesting. And, she says, because when she gets to the end, she goes, yeah, that's never gonna happen.
That's amazing.
That's like amazing. I guess when you tell me you're reading a cookbook, what does that mean?
It means that I, you know, most people buy up a cookbook and they kind of like look for the recipes they want to do, and then they kind of refer to it. I read it sort of cover to cover. Like, I read the introduction.
Cover to cover.
I read like all the little blurbs that they have for each dish.
Wow.
I look at it and I like put a sticky note next to it if I think I'm going to return to it. And then all of my cookbooks, therefore, have
those side stickies.
Yeah. Yep. That I just like open up and
you know, that doesn't work if you sticky all of them.
You know, I
if every recipe is sticky.
Yeah.
One thing totally. I love about the direction this is heading is that recently Margaret and I were in a car together, and
just
we
like that
had a great, which isn't a relevant fact, but like we had an amazing conversation where we talked about what. Do you read Harry Potter?
Unfortunately, no.
That's okay. We'll still be friends. where we talked about what is it? Department? What
or
major
like what
you
professor
would be in?
I would be.
What professor should be in?
Isn't house?
Yeah, there are houses, but there are also teachers who teach different subjects.
Right? Oh, I see.
And so one is potions, which is the one that we ended up being Margaret's,
which you wouldn't expect, right?
I don't wait. Back up, because as a avid non-reader of Harry Potter, I don't wait. How did you find out that you were both in potions?
Well, so is there, she was like in potions.
So I'm potions. We
you
like,
decided, or is there like a buzz
decided?
Quiz?
No, oh, there okay. Was a, there, right. Yeah. Well, there probably is, but we didn't take it.
One of our favorite games in the world.
Quiz now.
One of our favorite games in the world, which I think a lot of people love to play, is like thinking about, you know, what realm would you be in, or if you were in Lord of the Rings, what character would you be? You know, like,
right.
Are you more brownies or cookies as a person, or whatever? Like, we love stuff like that. We just do that all day long. And so that's really what collab is about. Most of what we do. But yeah, so
there's two kinds of people in the world. There's brownies and there's cookies.
Exactly. And so one of these questions is like, what professor would you be? And the reason why Margaret would be Potions is for a number of different reasons. One is because Potions has often been taught by male-bodied individuals. And so we see if Margaret were to be a professor of Potions, she would be similar to all these women like Meg Urie who are pushing against all these biases in STEM. Margaret would be pushing for, hey, you're the first like female-bodied individual to be the Potions master.
And I love cooking.
And then also like the rigor with which she like reads cookbooks.
Cover to cover.
And Carolyn, same question goes for you. What's the sort of pearl of wisdom or the tidbit of advice that you would give to someone looking to either take a leap for their side gig and make it their main gig, or someone that wants to ditch the status quo altogether? What's that? What's that piece of advice?
Totally.
The one most important thing.
The foundational thing. We always do that. We're always like, the best thing in the world is. I mean, I loved what Margaret said, and I 100% agree. I think how I'll answer that is through talking a little bit about the philosophy of collab, like how we want to teach entrepreneurship. So oftentimes we've seen a lot of entrepreneurs come to us and feel very stuck. And oftentimes the way they're stuck is because they think they're like, I haven't created a business plan. I think I have to create a business plan. Or like, I need to become a nonprofit, or I need to become an LLC. It's a lot of like paperwork.
Yeah.
In their head, they're just like, I need to do this paperwork, this like mysterious paperwork. And I think something that we really push against that is, you know, eventually becoming incorporated, eventually creating creating rigor around your business plan is really important. But in your initial stages as an early stage entrepreneur, it's much more important to do very small things, put it out there for your customer, talk to a lot of people, and iterate as you go before you do any of that paperwork and sort of later stage stuff. And that's what we teach. That's what Collab teaches, is how do you define, first of all, why you're doing this, the value you really want to provide, who you're providing it for, and how do you create mechanisms, events, whatever, to get it in front of your customers to really learn and learn and learn. And so I guess my number one piece of advice is, if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're thinking about creating a business plan, or you need a storefront, or you need to become a nonprofit, don't let those be barriers to you learning from your customer and learning about the value you're providing from them.
Yeah, and that actually leads to a better product and a better service, and increases your chances of success more so than incorporating by a long shot.
That's
so
awesome.
Agree with that.
And just because Margaret opened this door, how do you practice self-care?
So I've never been very good at meditation and yoga, but I really enjoy.
Literally, no one is. Yeah. They're all phony.
Oh my god,
that's crazy.
What I really enjoy is meditative activities. So not exactly meditation, but something similar. I'm very routine based. Like, a lot of my days look pretty much the same, but are structured very similar. I wake up at the same time. I run the same amount. I go for a run at the same time. I eat the same exact things. Margaret's very different.
very different.
And I enjoy that a lot. I enjoy that sort of meditative routine. I enjoy like running the same amount, and I enjoy even like having meetings at similar times, even if they're with different people. And so I think there's a real element of self-care to that. Like, this goes down to even when I was a little kid, I used to love listening to books on tape. I realized most of the books I've read, I've really just listened to. I would listen to the same books over and over again. I listen to the same music. I get stuck in a song. I've been listening to Don't Take the Money by Bleachers for potentially the past like 8 months of my life. I just listen to it on repeat, and other songs, obviously. But I think I really like that repetition. I remember this amazing choreographer once said that, like, she said, repetition is not repetition, in that when you listen to something again, or when you do something again, it changes. It's not the same thing. And I think that's what happens to me. I think it's not the same thing every time. It changes.
That's
whether it helps me work, or whether it helps me just understand or conceptualize a day. I think that's what self-care.
That's really great. I mean, I guess that last line resonates with me, because I watch The Cosmos all the time.
Yay.
really, there's like, I wish there was a second season so I wouldn't feel crazy about starting it over. But every single time I watch it, it's not the same.
Yes,
it's so funny. It's
Parks and Rec for me is like that.
Yeah.
When you said you watched The Cosmos, I thought you meant like the cosmos, the was universe. Like, I was like, Mercy, I'm so there with you. Like, let's get in on this.
That's
let's talk
hilarious.
About it. What does self care look like for you?
Wait, the idea that I would call it the cosmos makes me seem so cool, and I wish that's what I was saying.
What does self care look like for you?
For me, self care looks like watching the cosmos. No, God, you got me here on the spot, and I should always be prepared to answer the questions that I am asking of someone. I guess I really enjoy dissecting literary works.
I was an English major, so I love that.
I wasn't.
No, that's great. Well, that's even better.
Before I went to Quinnipiac, because I finished my undergrad at Quinnipiac, but I started out at St. Joseph's College when it was called St. Joseph's College up in West Hartford. Now it's St. Joseph's University. I did English there.
Gotcha.
But only because they didn't have journalism. And then I quickly, as quickly as I could, transferred over to Quinnipiac. But I want to expand the idea of literary works to like thinking about the scripts of movies, right? Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So yes. when I dive into the dialogue in movies, I'm just like, that it's so interesting that he delivered that line that exact way and that plot. Wow. Like, yes. how did they even bury such a deep foreshadow into something? Like, it's just crazy things that I love to dig into with movies and with books, which actually bleeds into kind of mindless watching of TV, which, or if you're looking at me watching TV, it looks very mindless. And in my head, I'm like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Sneaky Pete is a Amazon Prime show that if you guys have a chance, I would definitely suggest watching it, because that's
Sneaky Pete.
Sneaky Pete. It's about this con man who, I mean, basically everybody's conning everybody. So it's like this really great, character development story arc is just amazing. Thank you for that question. That's a really great question. I also like to think I am into yoga, but that's how I can tell you that nobody's into yoga. So we only have a couple more minutes, so in a few words, what gets you guys worked up?
What gets us worked up?
New Haven, working in New Haven with people who love this city and want to build stuff to make it better.
That's awesome. And you, Mart?
I think when, you know, we talk to a lot of entrepreneurs, and when an entrepreneur says, this is really needed, like, I'm so glad that this exists, that really gets us riled up.
That's awesome. I'm so happy that you guys have come onto the show and told us a bit about what you are doing over at Collab New Haven. Thank you again to all of our listeners who listen in every Monday at noon, or watch on the New Haven Independence live stream. You've been watching Brokered Out with Mercy Quay, the show about what people do for work, at work, and what motivates you to move. After listening to today's episode, I'm hoping that you are taking a good hard look at your passions and figuring out how to work it out. Until next time, enjoy. I was on this, but now I'm on to that. You see it in my closet before it's on the rack. Was out there in a while.